Welcome to Wine About History. I'm your host, Max Hamill. With me always is Patty.
Hello.
And today we are drinking Kia Ora, at least I am. Drinking the 2018 Sauvignon Blanc Marlboro. And this is from New Zealand. Apparently the phrase Kia Ora in the Maori language means hello or be well.
Cool.
And so far, it's been pretty good. It's a very light flavor. It says on the bottle there's bright passion fruit, grapefruit, nectarine, and herb flavors.
Those are all yummy things.
Yeah. I taste the citrus, definitely, but I do not taste grapefruit in particular.
Mm. Oh, my gosh. Is that good?
It's good.
Yeah. The guy at the wine store recommended it, and I was like, no, whatever. Because sometimes they make these recommendations, and it's like...
Yeah, okay.
They're just trying to push a bad seller on us. Now that is good. And if I remember correctly, it wasn't terribly expensive.
That's good.
It might have been less than $10.
That's good to hear.
Something different, but I left the bottle downstairs.
She's drinking Imagery?
Imagery Chardonnay.
It's Imagery Chardonnay.
2016. It's good. It's quite a contrast from...
Okay, well...
But anyway, yeah, that Kiora, K-I-A-O-R-A.
If we have any Maori listeners, they can comment and tell us how to pronounce that.
Right, because I'm sure we got it wrong. But it's really delicious wine. It's really good. It's very bright, citrusy, yummy.
It's very tasty.
Yes,
it is. It definitely does have that fruity flavor. And we were going to talk about Nicholas Przinsky, the Russian explorer, but I did the reading, and the reference theorem using mostly uses pretty bland language about the explorers it discusses. It talks about them in a pretty neutral way. Like, if they did something bad, it kind of says, all right, they're kind of jerks, but not with this guy.
About what they
did and why they're important. This guy, no. They went full, this guy's a jerk. They start off, he's highly controversial, and we will not repeat his opinions here. I'm like, whoa. And you keep going, and like, they have a quote for each one at the top. He said, the only way to get through being an explorer is to basically whip people into doing what you want them to do. I'm paraphrasing, but that was roughly the quote.
What a dick.
So, I didn't want to review him.
No, let's not review him. He sounds mean.
If you're such a jerk, you got to whip people to do what you want. I don't want to review
you. Sometimes you do, but I'm just kidding. Not metaphorically.
Metaphorically, yes.
Metaphorically, you have to.
Not literally whipping people.
Literally.
Unless they're into that, then.
Unless they're into that.
Okay.
Well, that's for another podcast and another time. Or not.
Wow.
Let's just drink.
Okay.
Let's just move on.
But I'm done with that.
No, you just whine about history here.
You just whine about history and get horrific thoughts in our head.
But we won't whine about that guy.
So today we're talking about the golden age of exploration, which started in about the late 1400s and went to the mid 1800s. Now,
that was a long time.
Yeah.
The golden age was 400 years, huh?
Yeah. So, well, about 500, but I'm just splitting hairs because I'm a jerk. Now, excuse me, I say 500, sorry, I meant 300. So, why is this the golden age? Why not when the ancient Native Americans crossed the Bering Land Strait through the land bridge, or going over to, or ancient Celts and Britons crossing over Doggerland, or when people used the Kelp Highway? They didn't actually cross the land bridge at first. They went down to the Kelp Highway on canoes because there was kelp all along the coast, and they ate that.
No kidding.
Yeah.
No.
So, or when Zhang He, the great Chinese explorer, who we should cover, his, why not him? Or why, the fact that Africa and Europe actually have been in contact with each other for generations. Ancient Celtic kingdoms had African goods in them. Mm-hmm. We found this there. And what it is, because it's the scale and the modern impact. It happened all over the world.
Okay.
And it happened at a time period when it was sustained. So what happened in 1492 affects us today. Whereas Zhang He only really affected Islamic countries and China.
Okay.
For a little while.
Okay.
Maybe today. I'm not 100% on Chinese and Middle Eastern politics. So...
But I get what you're saying. It just mm-hmm. started something.
And here's a for instance, like the sociologist Robert Woodbury pointed out that missionaries helped spread literacy during this time period. Christian missionaries would go out, they wanted everyone to read the Bible, they wanted everyone to write stuff down. So they taught them basically to be literate all over the world.
Oh.
Protestants mostly, and some Catholics. So that affects us to this day.
Yeah.
On a more profound level than some African trading between Morocco and Spain.
Gotcha.
So that's why this is so profound.
Gotcha.
So we're going to cover the major events. Columbus, Amerigo Vespucci, why this happened. Amerigo Vespucci is the man who discovered America. You know, okay. Well, permanent. Like I said, the Vikings came here, but what they did doesn't impact us as much today, like okay. we said about earlier.
Yeah.
So the first thing we're going to talk about is we already talked about how why sugar was cut off. So we're not really going to go over that, but basically sugar was cut off to Europeans, and one of the reasons they first started exploring was because they can't grow sugar in Europe until sugar beets in mm-hmm. the Napoleonic era. So mercantilism. What mercantilism? It's a kind of a complicated system, and it's changes from it's a socioeconomic system, and it changes from author to author to author. Kind of like existentialism. It's different for every author you read, but the short and long of one of the factors in it is there are a limited number of resources, and we gotta get them all right now before they run out. Which is true. There are only so many trees in the world. There's actually, I believe, only so much gold to build the Statue of Liberty.
The Statue of Liberty is made with gold?
No, there's only enough gold in the world to make the Statue of Liberty.
Oh, seriously?
Allegedly. Wow. But I heard that, and I'm like, allow me to put on my skepticals.
Yeah.
I think some geologists just said that to get up. Wow. Yeah. But the sugar...
It's true. Fossil fuel, mm-hmm. stuff like that, yeah.
The sugar, that mercantilism, as well as it's just human nature to explore and even conquer. I mean, the Mongols had the biggest land empire of all time. Why? Probably because they could.
Yeah.
So in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. We all know what happened. He was bankrolled into going. I don't think we need to really cover that because most people understand that.
Yeah, I've heard of him. I've heard of Columbus. Yeah.
So what did he do?
He had three ships. Mm-hmm. And didn't he land in the West Indies?
I believe he landed in... Cuba, actually.
Oh, was it Cuba?
One of the islands. One of the Caribbean islands.
Yeah.
Near the Gulf of Mexico. Yeah, it was. I'm pretty sure it was actually Cuba. And there he met the Taino Indians.
Mm-hmm.
And at first he was nice to them, and then Spain said, "Where's our gold?" And he freaked out and started being a jerk.
Aww.
And turned into arguably a monster. His name actually is Colombo, but he changed it because that was the style back then.
I never knew that.
The original gangster.
The OG.
So in 1494, there's the Treaty of all right, let's see if I can pronounce this word.
Yeah.
Tordesillas, where the Pope split the New World, because you can do that when you're the Pope, between the Castile Kingdom and the Portuguese. That's why there's so little Portuguese. That's why only Brazil is Portuguese in South America, is because they didn't know there was the rest of the continent there. They just thought, he thought he was cutting the New World in half.
Uh-huh.
But really, he cut off a little bit for the Portuguese
uh-huh.
and gave the rest to the Spanish.
Because
you can do that again when you're the Pope. So that's why.
He didn't have a good map.
No, he didn't have a good map. And the whole point of that was, actually, when you read about the colonization, it actually reads kind of weird because the Pope tried to send them over with good intentions,
mm-hmm.
but he left a bunch of violent, angry people alone with tons of resources and no guide, no rules. Guess what happened? We know what happened.
Take over.
They took over. So in 1497, Vasco da Gama, we already did a hymn, and in 1500... Pedro Alvarez Cabral, following Vasco da Gama's advice, went west and accidentally found Brazil. Because he's with the vice. Vasco da Gama said, all right, take this wide roundabout way to get around Africa's bad weather and the Cape of Good Hope and avoid the monsoons, and you won't have the trouble I did. Remember, he did that, and he came back with 46 survivors.
That's right.
So he's... went all the way over to Brazil and bumped in Brazil, met them, and then went back to India. And in January 1st of that in that year, there was a commercial revolution because of all the resources coming back, which was a big bump into the economies of those countries. Of course, this, Spain and Portugal were spending so much money that they were still in debt. They took all the Aztec gold and they were still in debt.
How is that possible?
Because I guess royalty has no concept of the value of a dollar.
I guess.
Or in this case, a doubloon.
Well, it's kind of like these big stars and celebrities and recording artists that, I mean, they're just bajillionaires. And then
and they go crazy.
Later, they're super broke. It's like, wait, I make a fraction of what you make.
Well, here's what I think happens. You know what I think happens? I think you're poor as dirt. The first 10 years you're an artist, unless you're extremely talented and get snatched up. And when you get snatched up, you're also being taken advantage of by those people. So they want this. They get all this money. They go crazy because they were poor for 10 years, spend it all, and now they're broke.
That must be what happens.
Or they go crazy with power, one of the two.
Yeah.
So back to, and in July 1550.
Yep, July 15th.
Chocolate was introduced to Europe.
Thank you, God.
Well, thank you, Aztecs. But
thank you, Aztecs.
Oh, wasn't the Mayans.
Just thank you.
I think it was Mayans. Anyways, chocolate wasn't sweet back then, so no one really knew what to do with it.
I do.
It was, pardon me?
I do.
We eat it. There's actually a chemical in chocolate that actually calms women down. I'm not joking.
I got that
from a college professor. She said, yeah, there's actually a neurological reaction that happens.
Oh, for sure. So. Yeah, there's just something about chocolate. And when people are like, yeah, I don't really like chocolate, it's like, wow, how is it?
Your neurochemistry is off.
Yeah, their neurochemistry is off, I guess. I mean, not too many people that don't like chocolate.
So we know Magellan was the first one to span the globe, circumnavigate the globe, but he died partway through. So he technically didn't do it. So he made, when he was in the Philippines, he became blood brothers with a king. And the king said, since you're my brother, I need you to go to war with my arch enemy. So he went war, got shot in the butt, bled out.
In the butt?
He got shot in the butt.
Oh, sure didn't nick a artery?
I'm sure something we don't know happened. I don't know a lot about butt mechanics, but... But apparently he took got an arrow in the butt. I'm sure it went very deep and hit something vital. And probably bled out internally. So that ship, the Victoria, and its 18 survivors circumnavigated the globe. Oh. But the first one try, one off, captain on all, the first one to do it was actually Sir Francis Drake.
Heard of him too.
And that happened in 1580. 1620, English settlers hit North America. My ancestors came around 1640, as far as I know. So, yeah, I've been here a while.
Yeah.
Fans been here a while. So, La Salle, for you who don't know, La Salle was one of the guys who helped found the bottom of the, or was it Diagabo? So, there was Diagabo and La Salle. I think La Salle found the headwaters of the Mississippi and Diagaville found the mouth of the Mississippi River. Because La Salle, we're from Minnesota, if you can't tell by our accents, La Salle is on a bunch of Minneapolis...
it is, yeah.
Yeah, Max knows his history. It's like I'm doing a podcast about it or something. But La Salle is on a bunch of landmarks here in Rhode Island. So he took his ship, Le Griffon, into the Great Lakes.
Because
he was looking for something that... I'm going to go on a tangent here, but there's a reason for it. The Northwest Passage. Everyone's trying to find an easier way to go from Europe to China. And all the spices and goods that are available is silk, spices, gold. There's actually a lot of things you can't...
A lot of stuff in China.
There's stuff in China, stuff in India, stuff in Japan, stuff in Korea. So, and it does exist. We'll get into that. But the Northwest Passage, here's why it's important. It sponsored so much exploration. I actually couldn't get a number on how many expeditions that went out, but it was an insane. I remember as a boy reading about it and going, this is insane. Everyone was looking for this thing that kind of barely exists. it exists to the point where you wouldn't even, this is why the Panama Canal was built by Theodore Roosevelt because, in 1914, because everyone was dying looking for this thing. It didn't exist. And he just went, just cut a frickin' canal through Panama. I'll pay for it. I'll pay for it. Just do it. Just do it. Typical Roosevelt. Just, I'm going to punch you. Just do it. So, Northwest Passage. The idea being, there's a river, connect something to go through North America. They thought they could go in through Baffin. There is a way to go through Baffin Bay, but the first recorded attempt to discover the Northwest Passage was by John Cabot in 1497. He was sent by Henry the Seventh. And he went up there with, I think, 40 men, couldn't really get through, so the king sent him back in 1498. He took 5 ships, 200 men with him, and they were never seen from again.
Ooh.
Never seen from again. And there was also the infamous Terror on the Erebus expedition. Mm-hmm. The Terror on the Erebus were 2 good ships crewed by 2 decent captains. One captain was very good, one captain was not someone you wanted. He had a bad reputation that he didn't deserve. You know, he's one of those, he's a good, good man. But he wasn't the best captain. He was an okay captain. You know, he's one of those guys that you just kind of have around. This was his chance to redeem himself. So the idea is they were going to go up into Caffin. My brain just tried to shove Canada and Baffin Bay together. I apologize. So they're going to go up through Canada by Baffin Bay and go through there and go down and... I believe this is 1843, maybe. And they're going through there, and they had 130-plus men with them. They got stuck in the ice, and they began to starve to death. They were there for about 4 years. There's a very good fictionalized version of it called The Terror. AMC produced it. It has some supernatural stuff into it, but it expresses the story well. It expresses the characters well. And you just benefit from the supernatural craziness. So Terror goes up there. They get stuck in the ice. They're there for years. They slowly starve to death. And the worst part was the tin food they had with them, the soldering, thank you, had lead in it. So they were slowly poisoned and going crazy the whole time. So they eventually all starved to death and went crazy.
Yikes.
130 people. It was a big mystery. The only way they found out really what happened was talking to the Inuits there. I'm sorry, the Netsalik. They're not Inuit. Inuit, that's a different group. The Netsalik there said they were so messed up. We gave them food. They didn't eat it. They didn't understand it was food, and they just starved to death in our huts.
Ew.
It was really gruesome. There still remains
like, yeah, we gave them food. Do you think they were lying?
No. As far as I know, the Netsalik, in those when you have a couple hundred white men wander around with guns, you go, let's be nice to these guys. They have friends. At least the consistent story was throughout various Netsalik communities was we tried to help them. They didn't seem to be alive. They were so dying we couldn't do anything.
Oh, that's really sad.
So that's kind of when everything went bad. So in 1906, Ronald Amundsen sailed through the Northwest Passage through Baffin Bay, the route the Erebus tried to take on a ship called the Goja. And he made it through. But, you know, so many years later, the Panama Canal was bit. And it's such a perilous passage, and it's really dangerous with all the icebergs and ice, and you get frozen. It's not worth it.
Totally not worth it, yeah.
So,
even if it worked,
yeah.
Not worth it.
So the Northwest Passage fueled a lot of expeditions. There's tons of expeditions we could also go into, but I think the Northwest Passage is a good place to end because it kind of explains people's goals. I will actually take a few seconds. We're going to end very soon, but what do you think it takes to be an explorer? I think people are malleable and can change, but I think some people have something, they're born with something to keep them going. I think explorers are one of those people.
Yeah, I think you're
what,
right.
What do you think it is? I think it's hope. I think they have hope deep inside them and curiosity deep inside them. But what do you think?
They like a challenge. Probably they're up for a challenge. They somewhat fearless, I think. They're just really adventurous and their sense of adventure and curiosity, and like you said, hope exceeds their fear.
Mm-hmm.
And so they can do it. And they're probably okay with it. Like, if I die doing this, I'm okay with it. And they make their peace with it because what they're doing is bigger than themselves.
I think a lot of them had ADD.
They may have had ADD.
I think that's where ADD comes from. It's a personality explorer type. And we put these people in classroom like, no, I want to go explore the South Pole. It's been explored. Oh, okay.
That could be. Maybe their frontal lobe hadn't quite, developed yet. So they were just like, hey, let's do this. And it's totally fine. It'll all work out.
Well, on that note, I think we're going to end.
Yeah.
Try the Kia Aura 2018 Sauvignon Blanc. And if any of you work for that company, have them give us a call. Have them send us a case.
We're curious about it.
We're explorers in the world of wine.
We are.
And we need new challenges to face.
For sure.
We're fearless wine drinkers.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much for listening. And
if it weren't for history, we wouldn't be here.
Have a great night.
Bye.